Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. You guys could clap for me. I don't think y'all ever did that. Just there we go. Just to get the crowd going. That way we're all a part of this. God is good. Amen. I thought I would get y'all again there. I thought I'd have to call y'all out for not saying something. But they asked me if I wanted to sit tonight. And I thought about it. And I'm still learning how to do this standing up. So it probably wouldn't be a good idea for me to start sitting. But before I get started, I would like to thank everybody who helped out in our first car wash. We had that this Saturday. And we had just an amazing turnout. I think we washed 33 cars is what somebody told me. But it was a time we were doing it for free. We were doing it just to love on our community. And if you were in any part of that, if you prayed, if you come out and you held a sign, or if you washed a car, or if you sat in the shade there and just smiled at people, thank you so much for helping out. I'd like to brag on Miss Beth a little bit. I know I looked at her, and she was like right here in front of the church. And then the next time I looked at her, she was about out there at the road. The next time she was at the road. Next time she was in the road waving people down. Yeah, she just kept going. If we would have kept going, she would have been at the interstate down there waving trucks in, I'm pretty sure. But we've been teaching on good works the whole month of June, and we're going to continue to do that. And just to summarize for my fan club that wasn't here the whole month of June, if I could summarize what I think everybody preached on, just in a summary, was good works don't come. Good works don't get you saved. Jesus Christ gets you saved. Good works are just a byproduct of it. When you're saved and born again, they're part of your DNA. It's just part of what you do, and it's part of what you want to do. And I'm going to continue teaching on that tonight. When the pastor asked me to preach this month, he told me that we'd be preaching on good works the whole month of June, and I knew I was going to get to preach the last Wednesday, and I was real excited. I was like, man, I got all month to get prepared. But the one thing that I did notice as the Wednesdays just kept going by was, man, people kept stealing my stuff. Everybody kept stealing what I was going to preach on. So there's good and there's good. I'd say there's not anything bad with it. But one thing I did realize is the one thing that I want to talk to you about tonight and teach on tonight is what I call the good triangle. And the reason I call it a triangle is because obviously it has 3 points. Anybody that knows what a triangle is, they know it has 3 points. But also I feel like each point points you back to the other 2 points. They're all things as Christians that I think we should be living out every day. They should be the top of our list. When we wake up in the morning, it's things that we should be intentional about. They're no secret. I'm not going to tell you anything tonight that you haven't already heard or anything that you don't already know. They're just simple 3 things, but because they're so simple, I feel like we look over them from time to time. We don't make them a priority in our lives. And in my opinion, I consider them to be the secret to life. And I know that's a big statement, but if somebody asked me, if I had a camera and a microphone, was like, hey, Jeff Tilley, what do you think the secret to life is? This is what I would give them. So let's get started with the first point, and it's at the top of the triangle. It's the top of the list for me, and that is a good God. Jesus says in Mark 10, verse 18, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. So God's not only good, he's the only one that's good. Believe it or not, he's all-knowing, he's a just God, and he's on your side. Sometimes it's hard for us to see this. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand why things happen or why some things don't happen in our life. And that's okay. We don't have to understand everything. We just have to understand that God has our best intentions in mind and trust him with it. It's something that it's sometimes hard for us to get a hold of, especially on the real hard topics in life, but it's easy for us to look at our children and say, hey, trust me on this. I know what's best for you. I live longer than you. I've been there. I've seen that. I've done that. Just trust me. This is what's best for you. It can be simple things from kids wanting to watch TV, a TV show that you know that they shouldn't, to more deeper things, a teenager wanting to buy a brand new car and you know they can't afford it. And you're telling them, but a lot of times kids are just like us. They want what they want, and they want it right then and there. So, but the thing is, we know that we know what's best for our children. We know, hey, like I just said earlier, hey, I've lived there. I've been there. I've done that. I know things you don't know. I'm looking at the bigger picture here. Well, guess what? So is God. God knows more than we know. He's seeing the bigger picture in life. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will the Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So what he's saying here is, hey, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts for your children, how much more better does God know to give to us? If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to be reading verses 34 through 38 tonight. They should have it on the screen. I tried to make my own slides tonight, but it was a little bit of a work in progress, and I'm still learning how to do that. But Pastor got my back, and he's got me got some slides up there. Just to set the scene a little bit on what's going on here in the verses that we're about to read. Here we have the Pharisees and we have the Sadducees, and they're asking Jesus questions. And they're not asking him questions like we would be to try to learn something or, man, I've waited my whole life to meet you, Jesus. I got these questions to ask you. They're trying to catch him in something. They're trying to get dirt on him. In verse 38, it says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. To love the Lord your God is the first and great commandment. Then I want to read to you here. You don't have to turn with me, but I want to read to you how the Apostle Paul describes love, because a lot of times nowadays we throw the love around all the time. Hey, I love those shoes. I love that shirt. I love those pants. I love that iPhone. I love that car. I love that TV show. We just throw it around on everything. So listen here how the Apostle Paul describes love. In verse 4, he said, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Paul is describing a deep love here, a deep love that we should have for the Father. When we love someone like this, we start to put their cares above our own. We have their desires in mind. We see this in good parents all the time. A good parent will put their wants and their desires aside because they want what's best for their children. Jesus told us to pray, Lord, let your will be done in my life. His will is what we should be after in our lives and what we should desire. It's a type of love. It's a type of love that makes you want to do good. When you love the Lord with all your heart, when you love him with all your soul and with all your mind, you want to please God. That's something that as a culture we really need to be. That needs to be our goal. Our goal needs to be worrying about pleasing God instead of pleasing man. So we need to ask ourselves, is God at the top of the list on our hearts, our minds, and our souls daily? Do I think of him more than I think of my job? Do I think of him more than I think of money? Do I think of him more than I think of food or Facebook or TV? These are hard questions, but we need to be asking ourselves these things. Is he having to compete with these things in our lives? Or even worse, is it not even a competition? Is he not even on the same playing field as these worldly things that we're chasing after? So point number one is, we serve a good God. If we put him first, everything else is going to get in line in life. Point number two in the good triangle is being good to others. If we pick up right where we left off in Matthew 22, Jesus continues to say in verse 39, it says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. That last line, it gets me all the time. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. The more I read this and the more I study in the Bible, the Lord just keeps pulling me back to this. If Christians could just get a hold of these two commandments, how much kingdom work could we get accomplished in the world? So Jesus tells us to love our neighbors ourselves. That's easy. I mean, right? We know how to love ourselves. I know what I like. I know how to love on myself all the time. So that seems easy. And I would agree it is easy on the surface. It seems pretty easy. It's the obvious ones are like treat others like you want to be treated. Okay, that makes sense to me. Oh, okay. If you don't like being yelled at, don't yell at other people. If you don't like people griping at you, don't gripe at other people. Same sense. If you like being complimented, well, compliment others. If you like people buying you stuff, guess what? Buy other people's stuff. Simple stuff. It also sounds a lot like sowing and reaping, which he does say all the laws hang on these two commandments. But let's go a little bit deeper. Some of that deep love that we were just talking about that Paul was writing about, that deep, deep love that we're talking about here. Am I forgiving you like I forgive myself? It's a good question. A lot of times I make excuses for myself because I know my side of the story. I justify things in my head because I know where I'm coming from in it. Do I have patience for you that I have for myself? In most cases, we don't. We see our point of view in things, but we don't take time to put ourselves in other people's shoes and see their point of view in things. Point of view is everything, and I actually seen this today when I was leaving work. I'll probably tell a few stories. I'm a storyteller. I love telling stories that just relates. I love relating how the word applies outside these walls. But anyways, I got in my car today. There's a big truck on my left. There's a big truck on my right. I go to pull out of the parking space so I can see because I can't see anything that's coming. And as soon as I pull out, there's a car slams on their brakes, and they're giving me that look. Y'all probably know that look that I'm talking about, like, really? Like, I'm an idiot. I pulled the mic away, so y'all probably couldn't hear me there for a second. But anyways, I motion them on, and they go on around. Well, then I pull out, and I go around the parking lot to leave, and then there's a Honda backing out. Same scenario. They're backing out because they can't see, and they back right out on me. But, of course, me, being the good Christian I am, I'm just like this right, not mad at them at all. Because I know their point of view. I know that they can't see anything coming until they back out a little bit. And I just thought that was a good analogy that happened to me just today. Something I want you to try to start doing is anytime you start getting frustrated with people or angry with them, take time and just try to put yourself in their shoes and try to just see their point of view and see where they're coming from or think about what they may be going through at the time. My wife actually gets tickled at me. I'll bring her in. She was wondering if I was going to include her in this because I always pick on my family. That's just what preachers do, I reckon. But a lot of times I will make excuses for people. And I feel like sometimes she sets me up for this just to see what kind of story I will cook up about somebody, about what they may be going through, just to see their point of view. And y'all tell me what y'all think. Y'all listen to this. Here's a scenario. Look at them. Just look at them. Why on earth would they be doing that? Well, guess what? Of course, I look because she just told me to. So it makes sense. I look. I analyze it. Then I try to decide, you know, why would they be doing that? Why, you know, and most of the time I come up with the story. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes people, they're out there. Sometimes I just like, I have no reason on earth why they would be doing that. But let me find my place here. I'm sorry. But let's go even a little bit deeper with these simple things, because a lot of these that I'm just going over, these are just things we should be doing just to get along with each other. I mean, just to make life happier. But how about this? Am I praying for others like I pray for myself? I mean, now we're getting into some of that deep love that we were talking about earlier, because I'm praying for me and my family daily. I mean, I'm praying for protection. I'm praying for guidance. I'm praying for praying over our home, for our children. Am I doing the same for others that I'm doing for myself? Well, you may say, well, Pastor, I just don't have time to pray for everybody. I mean, who's got that kind of time? Well, let me tell you, that is a lie. I want to just give you an example, just right quick. I thought this would be a good example. Lord, please be with Pastor Spencer this week. Keep your hand over him and his family. Protect them and guide them. That took less than 10 seconds. I'm telling you right now, this is not a time thing. This is a heart issue that we're talking about here. I could literally do that while I was putting my shoes on in the morning, if it was on my heart and that was my intention to do. So how about this one? Do I care about others' salvation like I worry about my own? Man, now we're getting some deep. We're getting into some stuff now. Am I praying for your children's salvation like I'm praying for my own children? Now we're starting to put and look. Am I loving you like I really love myself deep down? And this brings us to our third and final point tonight in the Good Triangle, and it is sharing the good news. The good news is simply the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, this is at the end of the book of Mark, and it appears to be some of the last instruction that Jesus gives his disciples. It's also known as the Great Commission. That's what a lot of people know it as. In verse 16, it says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." The gospel simply means good message or the message that saves. Jesus Christ saves, and in verse 16 he says, those who believe and are baptized will be saved. It's our job to share this message with the world. it should be heavy on our hearts as Christians that there's going to be people burning in hell for eternity. I mean, that's hard to say, but it's true. I seen this quote by Charles Spurgeon a while back, and it really stood out to me. I don't know if they got it up there or not, but if not, I can read it to you. But it says, "Have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you're not saved yourself. Be sure of that." And it just made me stop and think a moment. I was like, okay, I'm a Christian. I believe there's a heaven and a hell. I believe I'm going to heaven, and I believe the lost are going to hell for eternity. This should be higher on my priority list than what it is. I mean, I'm chasing my job. I'm going to baseball practice. I'm going here and there, and a lot of times I'm never even thinking about it. I want to give you some numbers tonight. I like numbers. I'm a numbers guy. They just make sense to me. Yeah, I guess everybody's heard the old saying, numbers don't lie. Everybody heard that? Yeah, old saying. All the old folk, I'm looking at y'all. that was before the 2020 election. It's a bad joke. I had to squeeze it in there somewhere just to make sure y'all were listening. But I got these numbers from the Pew Research Center from surveys that they took in 2009, 2014, and 2019. In 2009, it said that 77% of Americans identified themselves as Christians. And in 2014, that number dropped to 71%. And in 2019, the number dropped again down to 65%. So we can only imagine what kind of effect COVID is going to have on the next poll that they do. But as I continue to read, I found out that the majority of the ones that actually claimed that they were Christian haven't even attended church service in the past 6 months. So you had a lot of people who were saying, hey, I'm Christian, yeah, because my mom's Christian. Or, hey, I'm Christian because my grandpa's Christian. And the reason I say that is because that was me. I was in that group at one time. There was a time where, hey, you Christian? Yeah, I'm Baptist. My grandpa's Baptist preacher his whole life. Where do you go to church? Oh, I don't go to church, but I mean, I'm Christian. So you got that. And then as I continued to read, I found that that number got even smaller when it was asked if anyone had shared their faith with someone else in the last 6 months. So let me just illustrate this. You got Americans, you got the ones who say that they're Christians, you got the ones who's actually attending church, and then you got the ones who's attending church that's actually out there sharing their faith with somebody else. I didn't tell you these numbers to discourage you tonight. I mean, this whole message is not to discourage you and get you down. It's more of a wake-up call. It's more of us realizing, hey, this needs to be a priority to us, and it needs to be higher on our list than what it is. I love the quote that the pastor gave a couple of weeks ago, and he said he didn't know exactly where it came from because nobody knows is what he said. I don't know about that. He might have just made that up. But it says, evil wins when good people do nothing. And that's exactly what we have happening here. It's good people thinking that they're okay, and I'm good with me being okay and not worried about you. That's what we got. So you may be thinking, well, I never really get the chance to share my faith with anybody. I mean, nobody's really just knocking down my door, and I'm not going out. Let me tell you, if we really get a hold of loving God and loving each other, we're not going to have that problem. There's going to be people coming up to you and asking, hey, why are you so happy? Hey, why are you being nice to me when nobody else is? Hey, why are you giving me this? You don't even know me. So I just want you to know when you start living this way, I want you to be ready for it. Because when people start coming up to you, you need to be prepared for this. And I want to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. So we need to, as we start living this way, and as people start asking us where our hope comes from, we got to be prepared to give an answer for it. And this is where my story comes in. I told y'all I'd tell one tonight because, I love stories. Actually, this will be the second one. I got an extra one in earlier. This is a story of not where I triumphed or not where I was the great Christian that I should have been, but it was more of a story where I missed the chance. I had the opportunity to tell somebody, and I didn't because I wasn't ready. And this happened a while back at work. I had a meeting upstairs in the new model office in the back room. And as I went upstairs, I went into the office. There's about four or five people sitting around their desks. And our desks, we have cubicles around them ever since COVID, so they couldn't see me coming. But I heard one of them say to the other, here comes Tilly. So they knew I was coming. I must have been whistling or humming or something somehow. Or they smelled me. I just thought of that. They could have smelled me coming. But Either way, they didn't know it was me. And I walked up and I just said, "Hey guys, how y'all doing?" And one of them said, "Man, Tilly, I swear, you're the happiest person that works here. So here's my chance." They set me right up. I mean, this a layup right there. All I got to do is dunk it. Guess what I say? "Thank you." No, that would have been probably better. I said, "Well, it's because I don't do anything here," and laughed, right? And then one of them said, "Well, you said it." And I said, "Well, I just beat y'all to the punch is all." And then we all laughed, and I walked off. Ha ha, you know, just a couple of guys at work. And I didn't think much of it, but later I got convicted over it. I got to thinking, here was my chance. Somebody asked me, where my joy? Why am I so happy all the time when everybody else around here is not? Everybody else is down in the dumps. Why are you happy out of all the people here? The happiest person that works here, 500 people. That's a pretty good number. And one in 500, that's what I was thinking. So I wasn't prepared to give an answer. What I should have said, now that I am prepared, I should have said, "Man, if you only knew what the Lord had done for me." I mean, really. I should have said, "Listen, I am a high school graduate, third shift factory worker that the Lord's made senior engineer over two departments." I mean, come on, somebody. "Listen, I'm a 30-year-old that couldn't turn over his left hand that the Lord taught to play the guitar and now has him leading worship." Come on now, let's hear it. I was a lost drunk that the Lord delivered and made a pastor. I mean, don't tell me God doesn't work miracles now. But I wasn't ready at that time, but now I am ready. And that's what I want to encourage you with tonight, to be prepared to tell people, when you start living out the first two, be prepared to give people a reason for your hope. So if you're not prepared and if you're not comfortable, good, listen to this. I got some instructions for you here tonight. The first thing that I want you to do is I want you to go and make a list of why you have hope in Jesus and what he has done in your life. And I say you, not your mama, not your grandma, not your grandpa, why they love Jesus. You got to get this from the heart. And then I want you to start declaring that and praising it during your prayer time. And this needs to be spoken out loud, not just from the heart. I know we love him with all our heart, mind, and soul and all that, but this is something different. This is something that helps you break and get your flesh out of the way. Because, so it can be alone in your prayer closet, it can be alone when you're driving in your car, but start declaring these things over your life out loud. Because how are you supposed to tell somebody else something out loud if you can't even say it when you're alone with just you and God? So get prepared for it. So my message, get prepared, get prepared, get prepared. I keep saying it over and over. Because I promise you, if you get a hold of these first 2 points, we're not going to have to be hunting people down and hitting them over the head with their Bible. They're going to be coming to us. And then in that time when they do come to us, we're going to be finally be ready for it. So in the beginning of all these things tonight, I told you that they're simple. They're simple to hear. They're simple to read. And as we get intentional about them and doing them day after day, they get easier and simpler to do every day. They become part of us. They become part of who we are in our DNA. And I really hope that you guys got something from this tonight. I know it's not long. Mine never are. I'm not a long-winded preacher. But if you did get something from it tonight, apply it in your life. Take it outside of these walls and start applying it day by day. And that's where the real change comes. Because I promise you another thing. If we're faithful in these small things, he's going to bless us with more and more things. So as I close tonight, I'd just like to pray with you guys. If y'all would, just bow your heads. Father, I just thank you for your word, for it is a lamp upon our feet. I ask that you use this word spoken tonight to direct us, to get us closer to you. Put it fresh in our hearts and our minds daily as we love you and love each other more and more. Lord, help us to have a heart for the lost. Help us to have compassion and understanding for one another. Father, I love you and I just thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love you guys. Thank y'all very much.